Hey, Pat Brady, the long-suffering head of the Republican National, the Illinois Republican Party, once was thought to be head of the Republican National Party, but that didn't work out so well for anybody. And now, Pat, you have been you've been telling me, and I know you're a John Kasich guy, right?
Yes.
You like John Kasich. I like John Kasich too. Is it not time? I mean, isn't this really a numerical problem as we head toward Super Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, that we need to get guys out of the? I mean, the only way to beat Trump is to have him go head to head, or at least be one of three.
Yes and no. I mean, Governor Bush got out, but you got Rubio, Cruz, Trump, and Kasich. And Kasich has said, "Hey, I'm in it for the long term."
And Carson too.
Depending on the
state, I mean, he gets anywhere from 2 to 7-8%.
Some of these states are proportionate, not winner take all. So I think the Kasich strategy is he's the last governor standing, the last guy that's actually been in the executive and the legislative, and he's got a strategy to get to at least, I think, March 15th, which is our primary.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for him, it's beyond Super Tuesday. And I think beyond the 15th, 60% of the delegates are out. So this thing will go into late April, May. But if I were him, given the momentum he's kind of had in the last couple of weeks and the fact that the New Hampshire debates, and I love Marco Rubio, but his performance in that debate where Chris Christie just eviscerated him,
mm-hmm.
I think made some people nervous
mm-hmm.
that he's 44. Maybe he's just not up to it. Although he rebounded great.
He did.
Last weekend.
He had the right answer when he said, "I take total responsibility for it. It'll never happen again. And you're going to see a different Rubio moving forward." And you sort of have.
He did. He got off the talking points and started being more himself. He's a very talented guy.
I ask you a question. This Trump, it doesn't matter what he says. Why is it that, you know, he makes that crack about the president and the mosque and the Antonin Scalia funeral? Now he's threatening the Ricketts family with exposing their secrets, today on Twitter. Why is the bully tactic and the fact that this guy is seen as a strong man and he's lightly aware of policy, right? He doesn't seem to. On the whole healthcare debate, he did not seem to understand what the concept of the mandate was, which is why he got caught last week in this thing where he was supporting the mandate that everybody have insurance, which is the centerpiece to the financing of Obamacare, right? So he didn't seem, and that's a big no-no to conservatives, right? They don't want that mandate, but he was like, no, I like the mandate. I think what he didn't understand was that he thought the mandate was pre-existing conditions. That seemed to be my take on where he was, because he was answering the question for that. And so he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's embarrassing to the United States overseas. He's potentially dangerous to the United States at the moment with, you know, shooting his mouth off about things. He could get people hurt in other parts of the world that he doesn't even think about nor care about.
Well, the torture thing. We're going to go further than waterboarding. If you're somebody, I'm sure there is somebody from the United States sitting in a cell somewhere, wondering if these people are hearing this guy say what we're going to do to their people.
Mm-hmm.
He might be thinking, or he or she might be thinking, mm-hmm. what are they going to do to me now?
Right.
To me, that was, again, one of the many things of not ready to be president.
Right. It doesn't understand what really is at play here. So all of that being said, why does he continue, other than the numbers, why does he continue to draw people who, I don't know, I would think otherwise wouldn't go in for this?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think these races are always a reaction to the last president. And I'm not saying this is a ding on President Obama, but the people that are angry think President Obama is weak. So when Donald Trump comes out strong by attacking the Bushes, attacking the Ricketts, doing all these things, they think he's a tough guy.
But the Ricketts are a gigantically conservative family.
I know.
From Omaha.
It's more to, and these are the decisions. And I think Illinois is different. I think we're a little more sophisticated because of the nonsense we put up with on a daily basis.
Right.
Unfortunately, yeah.
These kind of tweets don't work. And I think that they will, I think, prove not to be effective for him.
Here, I mean, I don't think that. Do we have any numbers yet in terms of what the polling looks like in Illinois?
No, I haven't seen it in a long time. Last I saw was December, and the polling at this point has been, because it's such a momentum game in these primaries. But I think back to your larger question, I think that when people actually sit down and think it through, and I think that's all you can do to anybody that's supporting him, think it through. Is this really presidential behavior, threatening a family because they've made financial donations to a PAC that doesn't agree with him? I'm going to threaten them. And if he's president of the United States, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it's not just now just threatening a lawsuit. I mean, he would be president of the United States, and it sounds more like Mussolini than Monroe.
Well, and that's the thing. He's Mussolini at worst, and he's Nixon at best. Right? I don't think that sounds very good. I don't think neither of those guys should be president of the United States.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I just go, okay, I'm going to be objective when I listen to him. Really try it, because I think the guy's a complete idiot. But I was trying to be objective. So I listen, and I go, okay, I can see where there's some appeal to people that are very, very angry about the state of the country, whether it's the economy, they lost their job, they don't like the fact we get kicked around in foreign policy, whatever. I could see that. But I think everybody just needs to take a deep breath and go, do you really want this guy with his finger on the button?
They don't seem to care.
It's an important question.
They love the idea of it.
But remember, he's at 30. He's bouncing around at 30% in the Republican primary. 4 in 10 say they'll never vote for him. 7 in 10 say they won't vote for him in the primary. So 70% of the party is against him. I think a lot of this success so far has been the product of a lot of people in the field.
But Hillary Clinton did have an important moment here. Her firewall in Nevada was an important one. Her firewall technically was in South Carolina. She looks like she's going to win that going away tomorrow. Nevada was supposed to be tight. She opened up a little bit of a lead there and then won that fairly handily. If you look at the delegate counts here, Bernie Sanders is going to have to do a lot of magical things to be able to stay in this past the month of March.
Yeah, and the caucus states require a lot of organization.
Right. So even though he continues to be funded fairly well, I think it's a math game. So let's just assume it's Hillary Clinton for the moment here. Can Hillary Clinton, who is also deeply flawed in the sense that she's very well known and people have already formed opinions of her, she's not being introduced to the national scene or to a local scene for sure, right? Like a guy like Marco Rubio is, or John Kasich, or people you're not quite sure who they are, and now you get to know them. Everybody knows everything there is to know about Hillary Clinton.
And probably more than we want to know.
Right, and people are divided on her, right? And even the Democratic Party, I mean, look at the trouble she is having in national polls against a guy that nobody knows, who's a card-carrying socialist, right? I mean, he's a guy
that doesn't even bat an eye about it. He's not really a Democrat if you would have talked to him 3 years ago.
Right. And he's proud of it. And then, okay, you know, fine. God bless him. He's very entertaining. And he does remind me of like holiday dinners when I was a kid. But I just don't see my fear is that a situation where Hillary Clinton is as flawed a candidate as she is, takes on a Donald Trump, you get the wrong series of bad, like sort of domestic or international events. It worries me that people will go, well, just roll the dice with the guy that we don't really know.
I could see that. But I do think that if Trump's our nominee, Hillary Clinton, anybody that's supporting Trump is just supporting Hillary Clinton. Because I think she will. She's a very flawed candidate, but they've been around a long time, and people are going to rally behind her, the Democrats. And there are going to be a lot of Republicans that just aren't going to come out.
Or they're going to come over and do, you know, like the business-type Republicans are going to come over and do business with her.
Eric Erickson, was he at Red State? He just shot something out today. He goes, I will never vote for Donald Trump. And if you're a pro-life Republican, conservative Republican, why in the heck would you ever vote for Donald Trump?
Well, they're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Well, right. Then what
but
do
you
do?
But you know what? They're not going to. This is what Eric Erickson's point we're making today. I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. Not going to vote.
They won't vote rather than vote against Donald Trump.
But there are people, I think, like you said, in the business community that will vote for Hillary Clinton.
No, I think that's for sure because it's a business continuation issue.
Well, she's is it malleable? I mean,
she's
not going to stick to this far left agenda.
No. It's we know about from the 1992, right?
Yeah. They did NAFTA, they did welfare reform, they did the crime bill, and they did three strikes, you're out.
Right.
Her husband.
Yes.
And this is the guy the first 2 years tried to govern as a liberal and then came right back.
He played very much as president as a conservative Southern Democrat.
Yeah. You're a big government's over. Was that the 96 or 95 State of the Union?
Yeah. Well, didn't work out quite that way. No matter who says it, doesn't matter if it's Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton or anybody who says big government is over. I think the only thing that
he had changed the Democratic Party enough that he could say that and not be
laughed out.
That's
true.
That's the direction he took. We started with that Governors Association years ago that he said we need a centrist. It's a response to losing to
look at us selling the Clintons right now to the nation because it's like, oh God, please, anybody but Trump. Oh God, please. All right, does Marco Rubio have a chance here, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think he's got a good chance.
Does Cruz have to get out of the way for that to happen?
No, I think
Cruz have to stay in it for that to happen?
I think it's better if Cruz stays in for that to happen. But I think he's got a real shot. We're going to come back into these states, and we're going to get out of the southern states. And I think you're going to see – we might even see it in Nevada in that caucus, which has got a heavy Latino vote. And but
Donald Trump loves the Mexicans, and they love him.
His 8 and 10 won't vote for him though.
Oh,
but they do. They do love him.
But they love
the wall.
Him.
Mexico's going to pay for it.
He knows something about them too and their families, and he's going to get. When you start threatening a family, I mean, that's like what?
Well, he's such a bully. I mean, he really is.
What's he doing with the Ricketts today? I mean, just a New York bully. I'm going to sue. You know, I know something about you. If you know something, then say it.
Yeah.
Well, they made a $3 million, you know, donation against him, right? So one of the family members did.
Yeah, I hope they sue his pants off. I hope.
Well, what's interesting too is he's got all these lawsuits. You know, he's threatening to sue,
this is his default mode. He threatens to sue, or he goes into bankruptcy.
Right.
He's got two places to go.
Great leader. Yeah. Perfect president.
It's what you need for America, threatening to blow you up or just to go, I don't know, we're out of money.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the Monopoly guy when he's broke and he pulls his pockets out and you can see he's got no money.
I didn't realize, too, that only 20% of companies over $1 billion ever declare bankruptcy. And he's had four of his declare bankruptcy in the last 20 years. So he well beats the average on guys that go bankrupt.
But yet again, it's something he's talked about, and everyone seems to be okay with it. By the margins he's beating these other candidates by, it seems like it's not an issue.
I still think it's a function of celebrity-dom.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure.
He's losing it a little bit. I heard today where he said, or I saw today when he said, I'm a better person than all the other candidates.
You know what this tells me? This tells me
the
that
Pope doesn't think so.
But you know what? He did that with the Pope, and he won the Catholic county, the one Catholic county in South Carolina.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, what?
What's going on?
What? What is happening? Pat Brady!
You can blame it on me if you want. As former Republican Party chairman, I got blamed for everything anyway.
Sure, yeah. That on your plate. Mm-hmm.
Well, can you imagine? Now, I saw the guy who runs the Republican Party now, the National Republican Party, Rince Priebus, was on the Stephanopoulos show yesterday morning. And you know when you're watching a guy on TV and you can tell that they're lying, right? Rince has the worst poker face of all times. I want to play in a very high stakes game. I think I'm the worst. Like I get an ace, just one ace in the deck.
And like, oh,
all of a sudden,
I have that problem too.
Right? I mean, that's Rince is the same way. He's like, you can see him thinking, right? And Stephanopoulos basically asks him, listen, this you're likely to end up in some sort of a brokered convention situation. Are you prepared for that? And what are you going to do? And Priebus has to act like Trump's okay, right? He's like, well, he's just another candidate. I don't know. There's nothing to see here. Move along. And he did say, yeah, well, you know, I was the lawyer for 2 years and I've been party chairman for six. So I know how to operate a convention and I know how that's going to go, which was the first honest thing that he said. If it gets to that kind of a bloody fight on the floor, is the Republican Party ready to say, no, you can't, we got to take the keys away from this guy?
Yeah, I'm sure they're prepared to do that. And Reince is a very good friend of mine, and he has to answer that way because this is part of the nomination process that they set up, and right now he's winning. So you can't, if you don't like the result, you can't say, we're not going to accept him. But I think they're fully prepared. I don't think it's going to happen, but if they do, to go to this, and I think there will be people. There's a lot of people that call them establishment if you want, but people like me and others that do not think this is good for the party and will stand up.
Are they willing to? Do you think there's ever a moment where the party is going to pull the plug and go after him personally so he pulls out and runs as a third party?
Well, it's a lot more difficult than he might think it is. Like, I think in Illinois,
no, and that's fine. But I mean, that's the point, is that the Republicans will say, we can't have this guy. We can't say you do not fit our standards.
Yeah, but there's a process in place.
Talk about that, because I think a lot of people are saying, well, will Bernie run as a third party? Will the billionaire from New York,
Bloomberg
run as one? Or will Trump ultimately do that? A lot of people are saying, well, this happened because people are dissatisfied with what's going on.
I think
it's hard.
It's hard to do. And I think, like in Illinois, I believe there's a sore loser law. If you've been on the ballot in one party, you can't come out now in the general and run as a third party. So it's a lot more difficult than you think to get on the ballot.
Sore loser law. It is like Monopoly. Sore loser.
What is that? Except Trump has all the money.
Yeah. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. This just tells you that I thought like 115 years ago we were trying to battle back against the, you know, the great oligarchs of America who were doing this. And it did, and here we are in 2016.
This stuff today, though, to me, should make everybody think it is very scary that he thinks that that's an acceptable tactic for somebody that's running to be commander in chief of the United States of America. That is, that's a warped mind.
You don't like me. You're spending money against me. I know things about you.
Right. Nixonian, Mussolini, whatever you want to like say, somewhere
right.
in between.
We all want to say, we all want to say Hitler, but we know the rule, which is he who says Hitler first loses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that is, and, but the thing is that it's, it, this is very Munich 1933.
Well, you've read a lot of that same history that we've all read here, and that's what they appeal to, the nationalism. And then they come up with all the things they come up with, and anybody that opposes them, well, you're bad.
Yeah. Right. It's it is essentially the same deal. Okay.
Right. You do you think Trump will be the ultimate nominee?
I do not. I think, and
he's been saying that the whole time though. I want to put him on record.
I know.
Since August you've been saying that, and it's March. It's March, Pat Brady.
Listen, you saw House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy came out and said he believes he will be the ultimate nominee.
That's your buddy.
He's my good buddy.
Yeah, that's I thought.
Listen, I'm going to quote or look to President Obama, mm-hmm. who said he has more faith in the American people than to nominate Donald Trump.
Pat Brady just quoted Barack Obama.
Hey, and I defended Bill Clinton, man. I got to
right. I know you do.
No wonder they
terrible.
Had problems with the Republican
Party.
I'll
be over in the public radio stations next time.
That's right. And now we're talking to Pat Brady. He's got an excellent hot sauce that he would like to be discussing with us. All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks,
appreciate
Pat.
It.